the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. I'm going to be reading from verse 1 to verse 12. All right, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 to 12. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also have ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that you will expose the mystery of your word to us and empower us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. On Sunday, we looked at the fourth commandment. Thou shalt remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. For in 6 days God created the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested. We established that the seventh day was the day when Jesus finished his work of creation. But on the first day, Jesus completed his work of redemption. Jesus completed his work of redemption. And we said that the Sabbath day rule keys us into a whole world of principles that were intended to break cycles. Principles that were intended to break what? Cycles. The first is the cycle of struggle. The seventh day Sabbath was to break the cycle of struggle. In fact, all the other Sabbaths were Sabbaths. All the other feasts were all Sabbaths. But the first was the weekly Sabbath. Every week, God brings his people a word. He visits his people to break the cycle of struggles. to break the cycle of struggles. And the Bible says that God promised a rest for his people. Rest from struggles. The kingdom of darkness is real. The kingdom of darkness continues to push stuff on us. But every week, God comes through. So he says, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Believe the word. Believe the word that God sends to break our weekly cycle of struggle. And we said that if every week one struggle in your life is broken, that will be about 56 struggles broken in a year. 56 cycles of struggle broken. Never to have a hold on your life again. Never to influence you again, because you're going to have testimonies in all these 56 areas. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God must cut us before it can cut our enemy. If the word of God doesn't cut you, then it cannot cut your enemy. If the word of God does not convict you, it cannot convict your enemy. Notice the word convict means to arrest. If he doesn't arrest you, how is he going to arrest your enemy? It means it's powerless. You know, I remember that in the 70s and coming into the 80s, there were a lot of churches, and still today there are, that would literally employ a pastor. In the 60s, it was a practice. In the 50s, 40s, you literally employ a pastor. And if week after week, pastor keeps bringing a word of conviction, the deacon board is going to sit down. The elders are going to sit down. They're going to say, how long? How long are we going to have this preacher preach us? How long are we going to make him feel uncomfortable? If he continues like this, every family will leave the church. It will be left to the pews alone. So let's make a decision. Are we going to have this pastor run down this church? Or we're going to run him out of town? And they'll take a vote. They'll take a vote and run the pastor out of town. Kick him out. That is the story behind a lot of independent churches, where the pastor decides, I will not place my destiny in the hands of people. I am employed by God. God is my master. Even when you are the founder of a church, there are people who are going to come to you in a subtle way. Some are going to come to bribe you so they can have influence over your life, so they can chip in their own agenda. You know, pastor, you know, the way you preach this Sunday is the best way. If you continue preaching like that, that kind of sermon, I'm telling you, the church is going to be packed in no time. You see how everybody was smiling when you were preaching? You see how everybody was happy after the service? Just continue in that lie. Continue in that method. When that happens, and
You've been bribed, you want more bribes. So you start to toe that line. You don't go to God to get that kind of message that cuts the people again. You go and look for a message that looks like what they like. So now you ask them, how did I do this Sunday? Oh yeah, Pastor, continue. Continue on that line. So a pastor who used to pray to God and will preach and God will cut the people, that pastor stops to yield himself to seek God, he just has to get the sermonette book and preach the kind of sermons that the people love. And that's how a church dies. That's how a church dies. That's how a church dies. When everybody tries to chip in what they want. So it becomes a societal church, a community church. What the people want. Pastor, you see how the other preacher came here and preached, and everyone was excited. Why can't you just preach like that? Can you just tone your message down? Tone it down. Tone it down. Tone it down. Take it easy. Let the message be light on the people. So the people can feel comfortable to come to church. But I wanted to know that. In the days of D.L. Moody and Charles Finney and great revivalists, what brought revival was conviction. People were convicted. And when people are convicted, they repent. And when people repent, it has an effect on society. When people repent, it has an effect on society. Thieves are affected. Thieves are convicted. Vulgar people are convicted. Every kind of person, because God has free access to the hearts of men. The worst thing that can happen in a generation is cold hearts. Cold hearts. When the enemy has taken hold of the hearts of men and people become lethargic and don't move even when God speaks. Cold hearts. Cold hearts. Resist the glory of God. Cold hearts. Cannot be used by God. But when God can come through, and when we come with hearts of faith, hearts of expectation, knowing that today God will take care of me in some area of my life. Lord, speak to me. Lord, I want to hear your voice. Lord, cut me. Cut me where it hurts. Then God has free course amongst his people. You know, in the book of 1 John and chapter 5, I like how the scripture puts it. 1 John chapter 5, and I read from verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? It says, herein demonstrate that we love God, that we keep his commandments. We keep his what? His commandments. Now this is the New Testament. We keep his commandments. And the Bible says his commandments are not grievous. They are not burdensome. And the Bible says, for whatsoever, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Whosoever is born of God overcometh. Overcometh is victorious over struggle. Is victorious over the works of darkness. And this is the victory, our faith. This is the victory, our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Word of God triggers faith. And faith is our victory. Faith is our victory. The Bible says, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Believe. 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 The word of God sorts out the soul and the spirit. The times when we think that it is the will of God to do something, or it is right for us to do something, until we come under the atmosphere of the convicting word of God. And by the time we finish hearing the word of God, we know for a fact, clearly in our minds, that how we thought and what we thought was the right path, was the what God will have us do, we come under conviction. And there is clarity in our minds. Because the word of God discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is clarity. We know exactly what God wants us to do. Because we are under his word. Convicting word. Not a concocted story. Not a story to motivate us. Oh, a lot of pastors, a lot of ministers have turned into motivational speakers. Nothing wrong with that. But not for a Sunday. Not for a people who are trusting for the double-edged, cutting-edge sword of the word of God. No, we don't need motivation. But a lot of people are bathing in inspiration that does not come from God. Stories, stories, and stories. That's not what we want. We want a word from God. A clear word. Hallelujah. A word of victory. A word by which we overcome the world. Now, that is what the word of God does for us on a weekly basis. It breaks struggle. It is the water that sanctifies us. Now, there are cycles of bondage that the enemy holds us with. Cycles of bondage. Those cycles are broken through the annual visitations. The cycles of bondage are broken through the annual visitations. Passover is a time when our redemption is reenacted and all forms of captivity broken. God told the children of Israel, every year you shall remember to observe the Passover. Even Jesus told them at the Last Supper, this is my body that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance. He echoed God's word to Israel in Egypt. You shall always remember to observe the Passover, because I will come. I'll come. And anyhow, the devil would have tried to hold you in bondage, I'll redeem you again. I'll break the chains of your captivity. I'll break every chain of what? Captivity. Every chain of captivity. I will break. I will break. I'll break. You see, in the realm of the spirit, there are anniversaries. Anniversaries of deliverance. God always reserves the right to come back to make sure that Your breakthrough, the breakthrough he gave you last year, is intact next year. Hallelujah. The breakthrough he gives you this year, he'll come next year same time. You know why? He comes not because he has not done a complete work, because the enemy will try to re-yoke you again. Every year the enemy tries to what? Re-yoke us again. As though God never delivered us. It is how God designed the earth. If there is darkness, there is also going to be light. The psalmist says, sorrow may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Joy cometh when? In the morning. For you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. With healing in his wings. And you will break out like calves let out of the stall. And you will tread the wicked down, thus saith the Lord. So every year God will come during the time of Passover and reenact your deliverance. Reenact your redemption. During first fruits, he reenacts our resurrection. Resurrection from corruption. Because we die at Passover, we are resurrected incorruptible. We die to weakness, we're raised in power. We die to the natural, we are raised spiritual. We die to dishonor, we are raised in glory. Amen. Hallelujah. So during first fruits, there is resurrection. The same spirit that raised Jesus dwells in us and quickens our mortal bodies so that we can be incorruptible, we can be powerful, we can be spiritual, and we can be glorified. At Pentecost, God comes to break the cycle of poverty. At Pentecost, God comes to break the cycle of what? Poverty. He gives us a harvest. He gives us a harvest. Right now, we are in that season. The season of harvest. The season of harvest. The season of harvest. The season of harvest. And if you haven't experienced your harvest, you just keep pushing in it. How did Jesus get the apostles to experience Pentecost? He says, tarry. Wait. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. There is a certain visitation of God that is in the atmosphere, because this is the time. The time of his favor. So if you haven't gotten your harvest, notice that 3,000 souls were won on the day of Pentecost. But the next time they preached, even though the day of Pentecost was gone, 5,000 souls. And every time they reached out, their number continued to what? To grow and to grow and to grow and to grow and to grow. So we are in that season. If you haven't gotten your harvest, keep waking up in the midnight and keep knocking the door. Burn the midnight oil. Cry unto God. Keep praying. Because we are in that season. He's around. He's around. If you're not too lazy, he's around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for the harvest. And I'm going to get my harvest in Jesus' name. I'm going to get my harvest in this season in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The cycle of poverty is broken. Cycle of lack is broken in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I have my harvest in Jesus' name. In the season of trumpets, God comes to break the cycle of defeat and dishonor. The cycle of what?
and disorderliness, sorry. The cycle of defeat that comes through disorderliness. When we are disorderly, we experience some defeats. But during the Feast of Trumpets, trumpets releases the sound of order and an alarm against your enemies. An alarm against our enemies. So every defeat that we have experienced since the last year, during trumpets, God reenacts the defeat of our enemies by resounding order into our spirit, by correcting our disorderliness. During atonement, the hammer of God's justice breaks the cycle of injustice. Hallelujah. The hammer of divine justice breaks the cycles of what? Injustice. Remember in Zechariah chapter 3, the high priest been accused by Satan. But on the day of atonement, the Lord rebuked Satan. Cycle of injustice is broken, so God's people can have justice. Then finally, the Feast of Tabernacles. Every form of disinheritance, every cycle of disinheritance is broken. Is broken. Cycles of disinheritance are broken during the Feast of Tabernacles. So you see, there are various bondages that God breaks through the annual feasts. Annual cycles. Annual cycles of bondage are broken when God visits us during the feasts. Annual cycles of bondage. Annual cycles. Annual. Annual means yearly. There are some cycles that are yearly. And every year, we must meet with God at the Sabbath of the feast, and God frees us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Jesus is the essence of our Sabbath. Amen. Hallelujah. Then we have the third kind of Sabbath was the seventh year Sabbath. That's the oil. The seventh year Sabbath. The seventh year Sabbath. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, chapter 15, sorry, verse 1 to 6. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 1 to 6. Now the scripture says, at the end of every 7 years thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor, of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Of a foreigner thou mayest exact it again, but that which is thine with thy brother, thine hand shall release, save when there shall be no poor among you. For the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day. Let's read verse 6. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. And thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. Hallelujah.
Now, during the seventh year Sabbath, God said that the children of Israel should exact a release of debts. A release of debts. If an Israelite owed you, God said, cut him loose. Cut him loose. Give him another chance to bounce back. Give him another chance in the seventh year. Now, for us believers, we're not counting days and months to the seventh year. The 7 years is significant of the place of the Holy Spirit in the tabernacle. The lampstand was seven branched. 7 years means under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Say with me, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So someone came to borrow money from you. And then you have the conviction to let it go. Under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you let it go. And sometimes this is the way the conviction comes. Suddenly you start getting troubled about that debt. You get troubled and troubled. It bothers you. You're constantly thinking about it. It's not as though you need it, but it's become burdensome on you. Doesn't mean you should take your phone and harass the person. It's God who is placing the burden of that debt on your own heart. The reason is that God wants to release you from your own debt. Every one of us has a debt. And the way that God wanted his people released from debt is for them to also release the debt burden of others. Release the debt burden of others. Free others from the yoke of debt. Free others from the yoke of debt. So that God will free you from the yoke of your own debt. Now, the important scripture is verse 6, where he says that the reason he says you should lend is because he wants you to have the blessing of a lender. The blessings of a what? Of a lender. Now, if you have to choose between being a borrower and a lender, what will you choose? A lender. God says it's a great position to be if you're a lender. And I'm going to bless you to be a lender to many nations. In other words, everybody on the block is going to be owing you. And yet you owe nobody. Hallelujah. It is a blessed position that you should need funds and I should come into your mind. Means I'm doing well, right? Amen. And it's a blessing. God says it's a blessing to be a lender. Tell someone it's a blessing to be a lender. Hallelujah. Thou shalt lend to many nations, and you shall not borrow. Because every time when you have to borrow, someone who owed you will bring in what they owed you. Hallelujah. God will make a way. Lend. Now, lending is not limited to only money. Every time you impact someone with your oil and they cannot afford to pay you, you just made out a loan. You just made out a what? A loan. Every time you offer the services of the anointing, you impact people by reason of your anointing, they owe you. Hallelujah. They owe you. And God says, in the balance of who you owe and who owes you, there must be more people owing you than you owe others. There must be a tilt. More people owe you. Hallelujah. More people owe you than you owe. Then you are a creditor. And the Bible says, I'll make you a leader as a result of that. You'll be the head and not the tail. Above only and not beneath. So he says, I come through. Every time you start to feel the burden of those who owe you, it is because God wants to break the cycle of your own indebtedness. God wants to break a what? A cycle of your indebtedness. God wants to break a cycle. When God tells you to impact somebody, when God tells you to help somebody who cannot afford to pay you, God is giving you an opportunity to tilt the balance. To tilt the balance. Don't be that believer who is always asking, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? Your yokes will be broken. Thou shalt lend to many nations. The Bible says, he that giveth to the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And God says, I shall repay. He that hath pity and lendeth to the poor. So it's about lending, 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 lending. You shall lend to many nations and you shall not borrow. Amen. The last is bread. Cycles of disinheritance. Cycles of disinheritance are tied into the 50-year cycles. 50-year cycles. The Jubilee. Every 50 years, God told the children of Israel, you return to your inheritance. When they came out of Egypt, the land of Canaan was shared amongst them. So everybody's land had some resources. Those whose land had gold became goldsmiths. Those whose lands were by the seashores became fishermen. Those whose lands was good for farming became crop farmers. Those whose lands were good for grazing became cattle farmers. So everybody's land had their potentials. Now God said, don't ever sell your land. You can lease your land. If you're broke, get in trouble, lease your land. But every land transaction revolves around the Jubilee. Every land transaction revolves around what? The Jubilee. Because every 50 years, God comes to restore. God comes to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. The canker worm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm. God comes to what? To restore. So he says that go back to your land. Return to your land. Return to your land. Now, I know some of you are scratching your head and say, Father gave me no land. Don't even know what my family land is. The land was their covenant blessing. The land was their what? Covenant blessing. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. And I guess you would have wondered what the
scripture says in verse 6, we've read it over and over.
But let's see what it means.
Malachi chapter 3 from verse 6. For I am the Lord. Let's read together. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But he said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. And you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nations. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be enough room to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before a time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now notice how he starts. I, the Lord, do not change. And that's why you, descendants of Jacob, are not consumed. Consumed. Then he goes on to say that even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from my ordinances. Some of your translation says my covenant, and have not kept them. Now he says, return. Did you notice that word? If it's your Bible, underline it. Return. 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 Unto the Lord, and he will also return unto you. Now, a classic story in the Bible, the story of Naomi and Elimelech. When there was a famine, they left. They liquidated their assets and they went to Moab. Now we all know what happened to them. Elimelech died. Their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, died. And Naomi heard that God had visited his people. So she decided to return. To return. Return. When they came back, they had no land, no harvest, nothing. Zero. Zero. Because they had liquidated their assets to be able to move on. They were disinherited. But God had visited his people. And so they returned. In Leviticus 25, he says, in the year of the Jubilee, the sound of the Jubilee will be made, and everyone should return to their land. Return to their inheritance. And every transaction in the realm of the spirit where you were disinherited of your land, that transaction comes to an end. Say with me, every transaction that my ancestors got me disinherited, it's over. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4 verse 19, I have come to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. I have come to declare the Jubilee. From then on, it is your Jubilee. And notice how God says, in Malachi chapter 3 verse 7, how he expects them to return. Return to his covenant by tithing and offerings. Return to his covenant by what? Tithing and offerings. He says, that's how you return. That's how you return. You know, many people sometimes think of the fact that, oh, I've been tithing for the last 5 years.
and my condition is still the same. That's a lousy thing to say. Because the purpose of tithe is to restore your inheritance in Christ. Say with me, the purpose of tithe is to restore my inheritance in Christ. Now say this with me, tithing is a journey to my space. Thank you for that high five. You can give me one too. Say with me, tithing is a journey of faith to my inheritance. I'm returning. Every time you pay your tithe, you're returning. You're going back. You're going back to Bethlehem, Judah, to the land of bread, the place of provision. Ooh, hallelujah. You know, sometimes people misconstrue the purpose of the tithe. They think they pay tithe three times and like the lottery, boom, they should hit something big. Don't work like that. It's a journey of restoration. It's a journey. It's a journey. And you keep climbing that hill, over the hills, over the valleys, over the mountains. You're going back to your space. It's a journey. And you're going to get that. You're going to get there. Because the Spirit of God is going to bring you into your inheritance in Christ Jesus. You are on a journey back to your land, back to your space, back to your place, back to your space. And when I've finished with the 10, I'm going to come back to the tithe, and you're going to see a lot of revelation of how we possess our possession in the realm of spirit. It's unfortunate that the body of Christ today is fighting to kick out. This time it's not the unbelievers, it's not the one world government people, it's not the one world religion people who are trying to take the 10 commandments out of our lives. Now it is preachers who are saying that there is even no place for the 10 commandments in the gospel. Are you hearing me? I'm hearing it on television. I'm hearing it over and over. They're saying that there is no place for the 10 commandments in the gospel. It's the law. It's the law. Hey, against the law. They say it's a time of grace. You don't need no rules. Listen, it's just the subtle way of the world where they say, oh, good is what I feel, and you can feel it with me. Do you feel me? I like that. Do you like it too? If I can get two or three people to agree with me that is what is good, then that is what it is. Any other person who comes later to challenge it, hey, we will lynch you, burn you, fry you. Are you listening to me? It's a revelation. It's a revelation. All the scriptures are revelation. The revelation. You see, we're not supposed to implement them carnally. We're not supposed to implement them what? Carnally. That's the whole thing. That's the whole argument that the Apostle Paul and co were trying to tell the Jews, that hey, you can't walk in these things carnally again like we used to. There is a revelation behind every commandment, and that revelation is unveiled by the Holy Spirit. He didn't say that God's word is... Even Jesus said, I have not come to condemn the law. I have come to what? To fulfill it. He said, I have not come to destroy it. I have come to manifest it. There is a manifestation behind. Don't miss it. then miss it. So I'll get into tithing in a very strong way because there's a revelation oozing out, coming through, coming through. So God says, return unto me and I will what? Return. And they said, how do we return? And God says, it's tithe. Tithing is the covenant. Say with me, tithing is the covenant. Oh, hallelujah. Now, Ed Marie, you're a realtor. Does every closing for a property have to take place on the property?
Have to take place on the property? Yes, it's the property.
I said every closing, the signing of the documents, does it have to take place at the site of the signing? No! No! It doesn't have to take place on the site of the property. Sometimes, how many meetings take place before a closing between the parties?
A lot of meetings.
A lot of meetings. A lot of meetings. The property could be in Florida, but to close on it in New York. A lot of meetings with adjusters, with surveyors, with appraisers, with all kinds of people, with bankers, with the lawyer, back and forth. It's a whole run around because it's a covenant. It's a paper. And final closing can take place in Alaska somewhere. But once it is done, you can travel back and go and lay claim on the property. That is how tithing is. You're ramping up to a closing. Sometimes God makes you make a down payment, a big seed. It's a down payment. Because God is going to restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten. The canker worm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm. You know, God told them, if you made a transaction over a land, if the person was going to have your land for 6 years, the value of the land is the crops that will be harvested from the land for the 6 years to the Jubilee. And when you come back, God is going to make sure the years that you lost, your land is going to reproduce. Oh, so that you can catch up. So when the visitation of the Jubilee comes, God comes to give everybody a restoration. You've been working on that deal for the past 5 years. Now you have the indenture. Take it. Now you have the indenture. Take it. You see, let me finish with this story and we'll get into prayer. The place where our church holds meeting in Accra, it's a very big property. It's about, let me say twice of this. I don't want to exaggerate. But let me just say twice of this. The property, about the building space is about 120 in length and by 70 or so. So that's very big. That's very big. Now, when we first got in, it was a lease. And then the owner died. And the owner had many children from many wives, and they said, hey, we're going to take the property from you guys and we're going to do our own thing with it. We're going to sell it, share it. I mean, it was just a mess. And one night I couldn't take it anymore, and I got on my knees and prayed all night, didn't shut my mouth. I kept praying and run and knocking on the doors of heaven. Now, getting to the early hours of the morning, I fell asleep as I was praying because my body was tired. And God showed me a vision in which I was signing an indenture for 10 years. Or was it 12 years? I can't remember exactly. I don't want to make a mistake with what God showed me. But I think 10 or 12 years. Signed that deal. Once it was signed in the spirit, the deal was closed in the spirit. In the spirit, the deal was closed. I was in church either that weekend or the following weekend, some weeks after. I don't want to make a mistake. And whilst preaching in service, the whole a faction of the family walk in. Oh, that's a bad moment. When you are preaching and those giving you headache and hell walk in. You don't know how to conduct yourself, but I have a thing of closing my mind and just finished the service. When we finished the service, they came to my office. They said, "Are you ready for this? We're going to sign a 12 or is it either 10 or 12, I can't remember, but whatever it was that God had shown me in the spirit, we're going to sign this number of years deal with you. Give us X amount of money and we'll sign the deal." Cool breeze. Cool breeze. Cool beans. It might have been a 10-year or 12-year deal, but guess what? It's a life deal. It is a life deal. It is a life deal. Ooh, because I'd invested in that property. I roofed that property with these hands. I roofed it, and it's big. It's huge. A lot of money went into it. It was on roof, on plastered. It was just a halfway finished structure. But once God had signed off, that was it. Till today. Once God had signed off, there is a point in your life when God comes through. Get diligent. This is a year of restoration. How many of you remember that's the theme of the year? It's a year of what? Be diligent in tithing. Be what? Because that's how you return to the covenant. Because God says, He says, "Bring ye all the tithes into my storehouse. Be faithful in offerings, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes." I will rebuke. You know what it means for God to rebuke? It means that every time you open that mouth of yours and rebuke the locust and rebuke the cankerworm and rebuke the caterpillar and rebuke the palmer worm, they shall be rebuked. They shall be rebuked. Your authority is in your tithe. Be diligent in tithing. God will restore. Don't default on the document that you've not taken possession yet. Why you want to mess up? You haven't taken possession yet. Why do you want to default? Come on. Walk the walk. Walk the walk. Push forward. Be diligent with your offerings and tithing, because God will be faithful. He's going to come through. I will restore. I will restore. I will restore. I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. You're coming into your restoration. You're coming into your inheritance. You're coming into your space in Jesus' name. Start clapping your hands and start talking to Him. Yete, 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 yete. Yeto, 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 yeto. Lande goto shika restore. Restore, restore, restore. Restore, restore, restore. Late boshe neta le bosteka. Rande, lande, lande, riatata. Misto kabande la boshinde leveya. Ra, 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 ra. Raba, 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 raba. Raba, 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 raba. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. I will rebuke. I will restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten, the canker worm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm. I will restore. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and yours shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord. I will restore by the blood of Jesus. Lord, restore unto us. Ebobosia, rendele boshia kakaya. Restore, restore, restore. Father, restore, restore. Rambade boshendele berialaya. Arialeya moke. Arialeya beka. Neriale sendele boshia. Rabanda labaya. Ayega yege. Arebandele boshia kakaya. Alebanda ladie. Ariale bozega. Ariale zande ikande ikande ya rabanda la sheka yaka Arabala Breste, Rambala Bashia, Ayeba Yeba Yeba, Arabala Bosenda Levea, Arabala Balabashia, Rabanda Labayakaya, Arabanda Labayaba Yabaya, Ariale Sonda, Ariale Gandalaya, Ariale Baba Baba, Arabanda Le Baba, Anestia Kanaya. You see, the family of Naomi, since they got to Moab, it was a downward spiral. The Bible says the journey back wasn't easy either, but it was a journey uphill. It was a journey what? Uphill. And we see how they begin to experience favor. Favor upon favor. In one land, they died. In another land, they were resurrected. Hallelujah. They were restored. In one land, they lost. In another land, they gained. God will do the same. Are you on your return journey? The covenant is what matters. The document is what matters. Oh, once the document is fixed, once the document is now current, once the deed is now alive, oh, hallelujah, that is what matters. A document that is alive. Ratatatatata. I wanted to know that that document is in heaven. Hallelujah. That document is in the spirit. Ratushteka yedamayadaya. Rambele shida maria. Rabande leboshia. Rebenda leboshia. Rebonda leboshia. Netayekaya. Rambele boshia. Rambele boya. Yetaye bo. Rande boshia.
Restore us, 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 rest Father. We pray that we shall be restored. We shall be restored to our inheritance. We shall be restored to our life. From the mighty beginning, we shall be restored. We shall return to our life. We shall return to our life. From the mighty beginning, we shall be restored. We shall restore us as a family. Restore us as a church. In the mighty name of Jesus. No more shall we be disinherited in the name of Jesus. Take us to the place of our inheritance in Christ. Mighty God, Holy Spirit of God, reveal to us our inheritance in Christ, even as we do our tithing, even as we pay our tithing. We subscribe to that covenant, mighty God. We pray for a revelation. We pray, mighty God, that you will lead us. You will reveal to us our inheritance in the name of Jesus. Our space, oh God. We destroy the spirit of this inheritance. We destroy the spirit of debt. We destroy the spirit of bondage. We destroy every cycle of struggle in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of disinheritance, we are put you from our lives. We are put you out of our church. We are put you out of our families. You spirit of debt, for we release under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we shall be lenders and not borrowers in the name of Jesus. We shall be above only and not beneath. In the mighty name of Jesus, we destroy every spirit of bondage. We are delivered from every bondage by the precious blood of Jesus. And we shall enter into the rest of God. We shall have faith. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. We destroy that spirit of rebellion. We destroy that spirit of unbelief. Because of the spirit of unbelief, the Israelites could not enter into the rest of God. We rebuke that spirit of unbelief from our lives in the name of Jesus. For God comes every 7 days, 7 days Sabbath, to end every struggle, every cycle of struggle in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, for God promises us a rest. He promises a rest for us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray tonight for the spirit of belief, a believing heart, a spirit of belief in the name of Jesus. That when we hear the word of God, even as it comes on Sundays, we shall believe it. We shall mix it with faith. In the mighty name of Jesus, ekondaraba shandere bebeya, okoraba bandaraba shanda, ekatandaraba bandere bebeya, ekandoraba shandaraba baya.